BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. I believe that it would be very important for you to hear this program and to listen very carefully to the information that's being presented today. According to Worldometers, there have been over 98.1 million coronavirus cases in the United States. From that, they indicate 1,083,798 deaths, which many wonder how many deaths are from COVID versus how many have died from the protocols. But according to the October 2022 edition of Consumer Reports, anywhere from 10 to 30% of people who get COVID-19 are suffering from symptoms long after they first got sick. And they report the American Academy of Physical Medicine Rehabilitation indicate as many as 27 million or more people are being affected by long COVID. People who've experienced COVID-19 have been told you'll be better in a couple weeks, but for many, this has not been the case. So today we're going to be addressing what's been called long COVID. With us, we welcome back Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. They're a nonprofit public charity. Since February of 2020, she's been part of the team of frontline physicians treating COVID early at home. With Dr. Peter McCullough, she is a co-author, editor of the Guide to COVID Early Treatment, Options to Stay Out of the Hospital and Save Your Life. Dr. Valete is a 2014 Ellis Island Medal of Honor recipient for her national and international educational efforts in health, wellness, and endocrine aging in men and women. She's a past director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She received her MD degree and internship in internal medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School and completed special training at Johns Hopkins. She's speaking today as an independent physician, not as a spokesperson for any healthcare system or pharmaceutical company or insurance plan or political party. She is a patient advocate. Welcome back, Dr. Valete.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I really am pleased to be here. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what may be long COVID and what actually may be really happening that are complications and injuries from the COVID shot. And I would like very much for you and I to talk about that today, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here to do that.
Well, wonderful. And before we really get into that topic, what's your response to those numbers from Worldometers, 98.1 million COVID cases, nearly 1.1 million deaths, and then the number of 10 to 30% of long COVID is mentioned in Consumer Reports? Do you agree or take issue with those numbers?
Well, I take issue with the numbers partly because I think actually, what many doctors are telling their patients is long COVID is actually complications and side effects of the inflammation and microblood clotting and immune suppression from the COVID shots. And if you look at the fact that roughly half of the American people have been vaccinated with the COVID shots and are getting multiple boosters, the more boosters you get, the worse it gets. And they are the ones who are getting sick with the COVID illness after being, quote, fully vaccinated, end quote, that you're looking at additive inflammatory and blood clotting damage. And I see patients from all over the country. I always have. And I'm not a local practice. What I'm struck by is that I'm hearing patients in my medical practice and among other doctors in our groups telling us that other doctors, primary care doctors, specialists in other fields that are not up to speed on COVID and the COVID shots and the complications are just telling their patients, oh, you just have long COVID. So I don't think that's accurate because so many physicians have bought the narrative that the shots are safe and effective and there are no problems and nothing to see here. Well, we all know if you've taken any look at VAERS, if you've looked at open VAERS, we're looking at our Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System, the foundation team developed, and you're looking at patients across the country talking about people who die after the shot, who have strokes, heart attacks, flaring up of autoimmune disorders like multiple sclerosis, cancers getting out of control. All of these are known complications of the COVID shots. And yet doctors are just wearing blinders and not identifying it, nor are they doing the proper blood tests and imaging studies that would clarify the diagnosis. And you cannot make diagnoses on symptoms alone. Symptoms are nonspecific. They can have many causes. Fatigue, for example, can have 100 causes. Headaches can have 100 causes. So a headache, fatigue, chest pain, shortness of breath, all of these are nonspecific symptoms. And brain fog, oh my heavens, you know, I've been evaluating people with brain fog for 30 years, 35 years. There are all kinds of causes of that. Vitamin deficiencies, hypothyroidism, menopause, PMS, postpartum drop in hormones. There you can have viral syndromes, Epstein-Barr, herpes, shingles. All of those are viral syndromes we've been dealing with for decades that have some of the same symptoms. They're calling and they're just calling everything long COVID.
Mm-hmm. So through your eyes, doctor, how do you define long-haul COVID or long COVID?
Well, first of all, let me step back before defining it. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. The reason people have symptoms that are prolonged after COVID is the fact that they didn't get proper early treatment. I've treated lots of COVID patients, but I start treatment in the first 3 to 5 days with the full algorithm. You've heard Dr. McCullough talk about, Dr. Corey, Dr. Merrick, Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. Urso, the frontline doctors, Dr. Emanuel. I mean, there's a whole host of us that have been treating COVID patients from the get-go, very early, very rapidly, and with a combination protocol. People get well. They don't have the long residual symptoms. The reason so many people who get very sick with COVID as an illness, now separate from the shots, the reason they have remaining symptoms over a longer period of time is they didn't get proper treatment to begin with. Well, that will happen if somebody, college students, back when I first started in medicine, mononucleosis or mono was called the kissing disease. It's mm-hmm. common among college students, and it was caused by Epstein-Barr virus, and it could lead to prolonged fatigue, brain fog, memory problems, and just really, really decimate your energy level in young people if they didn't get proper treatment with antivirals and paying attention to any effects on liver enzymes and things like that. So we've known my whole medical career that if you don't get proper treatment of any viral illness early and quickly, then you risk having a prolonged post-viral syndrome that's manifested by fatigue and brain fog and potentially other things. That was before COVID came on the scene. When COVID hit us, it was different as a viral illness for three main reasons. It was engineered to cause exaggerated inflammation, exaggerated blood clotting, micro blood clotting, and suppression of the immune system. Those three characteristics of the SARS-CoV-2 virus weaponized in the laboratory and made more severe than the natural coronaviruses that cause the common cold and are part of the influenza seasonal flu-like illness syndrome. We've known about that for years, too. That virus had those three specific things. So your listeners need to write those down. That was what was unique.
Let's repeat those three. You mentioned inflammation.
Yes. Micro blood clotting. Mm-hmm. That virus was engineered to cause accelerated, exaggerated micro blood clotting throughout the body.
And the third one?
Immune suppression. so that you were more likely to get sick from other things or have a cancer flare-up or an autoimmune disorder flare-up. I'll give you an example. I treat a lot of patients with, I have for decades treated a lot of patients with autoimmune thyroid disorder, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I've also had a lot of patients in my practice who have multiple sclerosis, and they may be treated by a neurologist, but I'm working with them on some of the endocrine factors that make it worse. All of my patients with those two known diagnoses they'd had for years, got any of them that got the COVID shots had flare-ups of those disorders after the COVID shots and worse after the boosters. That's an example of what I want your listeners to know is meant by the COVID shots decrease your immune response. It's dysregulated.
Dr. Valit, does demographics enter into this at all, male versus female, a certain age bracket, one over the other age bracket? Does that factor into this at all?
Absolutely. The demographic factors of age, your immune system is less responsive as you get older. So anything that suppresses it, like the COVID shots, older people over 50 are going to be more susceptible to that. I'm seeing worse symptoms of that in people over 70. Because I have a whole age range of patients. I see people from onset of puberty through late life. And I always have, Jim. So I have a real good sense of what's happening across a broad spectrum of ages, male and female patterns, and across the U.S. because it's been that kind of practice my whole career. And men have a tendency to certain types of medical conditions that are greater than women. Women have a tendency to have a higher incidence of autoimmune disorders than men do. So women who have an autoimmune disorder pre-existing are more adversely affected by the COVID illness, and they have more adverse effects from the COVID shots than someone who doesn't have an autoimmune disorder. Now, that is more related to the underlying medical condition than age, but the older you are, the more susceptible you are to the complications. If you have other medical conditions, diabetes is a great example, and obesity, those conditions are what we call inflammatory conditions already. They cause systemic inflammation throughout the body, particularly if diabetes is uncontrolled, particularly in the morbidly obese. So those people getting the COVID shots, you then are adding gasoline to the fire of inflammation that was already existing in the body from obesity and diabetes, for example.
We're going to take a quick break here. Lots of great information today. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit, who is president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. More information to come today, friends, as we're talking about long-haul COVID-19. And we trust you'll stay with us back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in an evolutionary sense, what do the terms advanced and primitive mean?
Chris, primitive animals are thought to be those that evolved long ago, which gave rise to more and more advanced types. Single-cell organisms are the most primitive, and then marine invertebrates, and up to fish, amphibians, mammals, and eventually man, the most advanced of all. Within each mammal type, evolutionists say that the more advanced ones are the ones that are modern, but extinct varieties were hardly primitive. Chris, the whole concept of primitive advances an evolutionary idea which is wrong on the face of it. Evolution did not happen. God created each basic category, much as we see it today. None is more advanced than the other. Each is complex. And that's the way I see it from a back to Genesis perspective.
Visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete is our guest today, president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, their website, truthforhealth.org. We're talking today about long-haul COVID-19, and you look at different publications, and they'll say anywhere from 10 to 30% of people who get COVID are suffering from symptoms for long COVID as such. And Dr. Valete, breaking this down today, you mentioned that there are those who are actually suffering from the shot itself versus long COVID. Is there a way that you can test to know what it is you're dealing with? I mean, are there tests to know if you are dealing with long COVID versus an adverse effect from the shot?
There's not a specific test to say this is long COVID, this is vaccine injury, COVID shot injury. But there are specific tests that identify, in the first segment, you and I talked about the fact that the COVID illness and the COVID shots both cause three main types of damage: severe inflammation, micro blood clotting, and immune suppression.
Mm-hmm.
So there are blood tests that can check for all of those aspects. There are then imaging tests that can check for the damage from inflammation and micro blood clotting. And what I want your listeners to know as a very practical approach, if you will go to truthforhealth.org, click on the tab on the homepage that says treatment guides, and then look at the one that says vaccine injury treatment guide, your roadmap to recovery. That same roadmap to recovery for vaccine injury applies to long COVID. It requires an integrated approach to treatment. And we made it a very user-friendly, layman's language guide with, at the beginning of it, we even have a roadmap to using this guide. If you need this, go to fact sheet number one. If you need this, go to fact sheet number two. And so on. In that guide, I have put together a list of all of the diagnostic lab tests that I use in my medical practice. Many of them I've used for years, decades, but they are very helpful in identifying the multi-organ damage from long COVID or COVID shot damage. And then I've added the inflammatory markers and specialty tests that are related to the COVID viral illness and the COVID vaccine injuries. So it's all grouped. It's on one page. And people can print this guide, study the fact sheet number two in the guide. It's 20 pages. Print it. Have it as your guide for all of the treatment approaches you've got available, how you get diagnosed properly. And if your doctor's not willing to do these blood tests, find one who is. This is crazy, and it's unprofessional, and it's flagrantly medically wrong to tell people there's no test for this. There are lots of tests we can do that are common, routine blood tests. Some of the tests on the list in this treatment guide, and people can print out the list and go online, let's say Quest Diagnostics, major commercial lab across the entire United States, look up their program for order my own lab test. And it's called, some labs call it request a test. Others have select a test. They have different names. Go online and just find out. Ordering my own lab test, you'll come up with several services that allow you to do that. Most of the metabolic and hormone tests on my list, people can order themselves. Some of the specialty diagnostic tests, like a D-dimer or fibrinogen to measure blood clot risk, whether you've got micro blood clots happening, those require a doctor to order them because they can be critical values and they need someone to guide the patient to proper medical treatment. So some of the tests do require a doctor to order it, but most of them, people can order themselves, and they just don't know that. The doctors don't tell them. And I've been doing that with people for years. Okay, if your primary care doctor doesn't want to order the test, or if your insurance isn't covering it, go online, figure out which ones you can order yourself and pay cash with a credit card. And then those that you can't, we can order for you, and you just pay through our account to save you some money if the insurance isn't going to pay for it. So there are lots of ways to get around the roadblocks that get put in place that prevent people from getting this information. Once you have the information, then you know what you need to look at for treatment. And the treatment guide has a whole section on what are the medicines, prescription medicines, what are the foods, nutraceuticals, vitamins, minerals, and lifestyle changes that reduce inflammation. Then we have a whole section. What are the prescription medicines, foods, nutraceuticals, supplements that reduce blood clotting risk? Then there's a section on how do you boost your immune system. Some medications that are prescription, lots of lifestyle, dietary, nutraceutical supplements on that list. And then we have, for the brain fog, we have a whole section on neuroprotection. And there are medications, foods, vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals, and lifestyle changes. Prayer and meditation, for example, helps to reduce inflammation, improve your immune system, and improve your concentration and focus and memory. But people don't think of that as a medication or therapeutic approach for brain fog, and yet it's one of the hallmarks of ways to calm down the inflammation and the fight-or-flight responses that are interfering with your brain fog or your brain function, causing this brain fog people talk about.
I see. Also, you've got to find a doctor, because there are people, you know, as whose doctors will not order tests like this or get them, you know, the medications that they may need or diagnose things. But you do have that under your treatment guides as well. Find a doctor. Yes. And you've got many doctors from around the United States.
That's exactly right. And then I have, so I just was sharing with your listeners about the diagnostic blood test that you can order. I mean, sometimes it just drives me nuts about my profession being so carte blanche, giving patients wrong information and not even bothering to look up the data to see what's happening. Well, we've known since Dr. Mike Yeadon first brought this to the concern, to the attention of the world in the fall of 2020, before the shots had even been rolled out, that there was a risk to the ovaries and testicles. Well, Jim, my work for 38 years has been in climacteric medicine, looking at the role of endocrine damage during our entire life and how it affects the health of the whole body. So I've been looking at testing hormone levels in patients, all of the endocrine organs, thyroid, pituitary, adrenal, pancreas, ovaries, testicles. I've been, and vitamin D, which is actually a hormone, not a vitamin. I've been doing that for all these years, and now that we know that the COVID shots cause the lipid nanoparticles to be concentrated in the ovaries and testicles, of course it's important to draw the estradiol levels and the FSH in women and the FSH and testosterone in men, because those are organs that are damaged by the COVID shots, not as much the COVID illness.
So are you saying that before one really can be treated, I mean, they're told, I've got long COVID, one has to find out, is this really long COVID or is this reaction to a shot?
Yes, because they may have different treatment options. There, many of them are the same. This vaccine injury treatment guide could just as easily apply to long COVID, except there are certain things that are more likely to occur after the COVID shot damage. For example, damage to the ovaries and testicles, or specific inflammatory markers tend to be more of a problem after the COVID shots than after the COVID illness. So by doing the proper laboratory tests, while there's not one test that says this is long COVID and this is vaccine injury, you can look at the combination of the test results and say, and in somebody, obviously, if they got the vaccine and they got worse, then that's a pretty good correlation that it's likely connected. It's like, hey there, guys, this is common sense medicine 101. If people get worse after you give them something, maybe what you gave them was the problem.
Friends, so if you missed the website that Dr. gave, it's Truth for Health, and the four is F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. And she advised you to click on the Treatment Guide tab, and underneath that you'll find the Vaccine Injury Treatment Guide to click on that here on more information on this. Dietary changes, is that important to dealing with this issue as well?
Absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. You know, of the 20 pages of this guide, at least half of them are talking about neuroprotective foods, dietary changes, foods to reduce inflammation, foods for brain protection, immune system boosting, and reducing the risk of blood clots. Foods are your medicine. The Bible talked about that in the Old and the New Testament. Hippocrates, Pythagoras before that. Food is the medicine for your body, first and foremost. Eating healthy foods, eating whole food, plant-based diet primarily, getting rid of processed foods that are making inflammation worse, getting rid of simple carbs that trigger excess insulin response that make inflammation worse and cause more obesity, which is an inflammatory disorder. And looking at the foods that are rich in antioxidants, that are rich in immune boosters. You know, people don't think about simple little mushroom as being a health food, but mushrooms have some powerful immune boosting effects. And when you look at antioxidants, and actually there are studies that are being done with the dark berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, elderberries, things like that, that actually are being used to help reduce the risk of developing cancer. They are such powerful immune modulators and antioxidants. And people don't think about that. And listen, with all the genetic modification, I mean, we're getting genetically modified humans with these shots, because the mRNA technology is being used to do reverse transcriptase of your own DNA and change your DNA code from what God designed. So you've got gene modification of your own body happening. You've got genetically modified foods. You've got a number of factors that have to be paid attention to with the way you eat.
Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit with us here today. Again, her website, truthforhealth.org, truthforhealth.org. I'm just going to probe another question or two, and then we'll be opening phone lines. So, friends, you can form your questions in your mind to be able to concisely ask them when we open phone lines here today. But we'll be back in just a minute here on Crosstalk.
Erwin Lutzer has authored the books The Church in Babylon and We Will Not Be Silenced, and now the brand new book, No Reason to Hide, which is 58% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. We live in an evil culture, but this book is not written to reclaim the culture, but to reclaim the church and its authority to stand for righteousness in the midst of a collapsing culture. Each chapter ends with a hero we can celebrate and an action step we can take. If you don't want to create a stir, kind of live and let live, then you don't need to read this book. But for the rest of us, Dr. Lutzer's new book, No Reason to Hide, is 58% off through September 30th, only at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. Order now by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com. The number again is 888-722-4829, and our website is vcy.com.
You're attuned to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, long-haul COVID-19. Our guest, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, as she is president, CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, their website, truthforhealth.org. Dr. Valete, there are people who are wondering why are people getting COVID more than once? Is this a problem? Is natural immunity breaking down to its resistance? Is it any connection with those who've had the shot? We see those who've received all the shots getting COVID as well. But if you could comment on these matters, why are people getting it more than once? If that immunity is breaking down, or if the shot enhances that, or what's happening?
The COVID shots and boosters are actually continuing to cause damage to our own immune system. And predominantly, if you really pay attention to what doctors who are actively treating COVID, long COVID and vaccine injury, what they're seeing in their medical practice and reporting in all of our communication channels, it is predominantly the people who have gotten the COVID shot and multiple boosters that are getting COVID more than once. I can't tell you how many of my own patients who went ahead and got the shot, even though I tried to talk with them about the fact that it was experimental, we didn't really know what the complications might be, there were a lot of concerns about it, but they got scared by other doctors, they wanted to travel, or their job coerced them into getting it, and they got it. They've been the ones getting COVID. The people who are unvaccinated are not the major group getting COVID now, and that's true globally. There's a lot of data on that, but the media is just refusing to report it and let people know the truth. That's why Truth for Health Foundation started a new radio series every day called The Whistleblower Report, and we are on America Out Loud Talk Radio platform every day, noon Eastern and midnight Eastern. Same show is repeated. And that gives us a chance to bring to the public the data that the mainstream media is refusing to report. And our CDC is covering up, NIH is covering up, our public health officials are covering up. So it's not surprising that people don't know, because there's massive censorship.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, the data is all there. We can access it. People could access it if they knew where to look. But if you use Google as your search engine, it is actively suppressing access to this information. You need to use something like Brave as a search engine, or other search engines that are not censored. And even DuckDuckGo, that was supposed to give you uncensored research, I heard recently that Google bought them. And so Google's controlling it.
Those three points you gave us in the earlier segment about exaggerated inflammation, exaggerated blood clotting, and then also the immune suppression. Let's talk about that blood clotting for just a bit. Are there some warning signs people can that they should take note of that they may be experiencing these micro blood clots?
Yes, and actually, I want people to know three important tests they can ask their doctors to order: C-reactive protein, fibrinogen, and D-dimer. Those are listed in our treatment guide. So if you didn't catch it fast enough when I just spoke them, go look up that treatment guide. And then if you're having chest pain, you need to order some of the cardiac markers like troponin and others. But the things to watch for that could indicate you might be developing micro blood clots in the lungs or around the heart or even the brain or the legs or the abdomen: sudden onset of shortness of breath, unexplained increase in fatigue, sudden cramping or pain, for example, in your calf muscle that's not easily relieved, and then as the blood clot becomes larger, you would have more pain and swelling and redness. That becomes obvious. But in the early stages, just subtle symptoms like I'm talking about, pain when you breathe, a rapid heart rate can indicate inflammation of the heart. Noticing that you have a harder time walking, particularly if you're going uphill and that hasn't been a problem in the past. That's a red flag you should pay attention to. Areas of warmth on the skin might be an indication there are micro blood clots in the vessels below the skin. Localized reddening of areas on the skin. You'll see that when there's, for example, a deep vein thrombosis in the calf or behind the knee. If it gets big enough, you'll start having pain and swelling and localized redness and tenderness. That's a very serious finding, and you need to get to a doctor and have them do the Doppler ultrasounds and look for the blood clots. Mm. But if the micro blood clots cause very vague symptoms that often get dismissed as, well, it's long COVID, and then people try to take an over-the-counter remedy or somebody's latest proprietary product that claims to treat long COVID, you really need to take it seriously and get diagnosed properly and then look at an integrated approach tailored to you, which is the way that we laid things out in our vaccine injury treatment guide.
Friends, let's open our phone lines. 800-733-9829 is our number today. 1-800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Dr. Valete, give us a call. I suggest calling sooner than later. The time is going very, very quickly. And again, that's 800-733-9829. Dr. Valete, I saw that in the Consumer Reports, they've got quite an article in the October 2022 issue on long COVID, but they indicate that more than $1 billion is pouring into the National Institutes of Health to study long COVID. That's no small amount of money.
No, it's not. And given that the NIH misled people so badly about the treatment for COVID and suppressed early treatment, my concern is that it's probably going to be money wasted, because all of these things that we're talking about are things that are already available,
mm-hmm.
that we know are neuroprotective, immune boosters, anticoagulants, anti-inflammatory, antioxidants. These are things we've known for decades and decades and decades, hundreds of years for some.
Yeah.
And I just think, once again, it's all about trying to use taxpayer money to benefit certain special research interest groups and not looking at the common, simple, effective things that are in our world around us that God gave us that help our body get healthier and heal. I mean, look, here's, for example, some simple lifestyle approaches to reduce inflammation and reduce fatigue, improve your immune system, and improve brain function. Prayer, meditation, mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Yeah, and there's
not to mention all the foods and vitamins and minerals I've already included in the treatment guide.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, these are things people can do now. It doesn't need $1 billion of research thrown at it.
Lines are packed here. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask her if that infusion that they gave for people when they got that COVID, did they sneak something in on you on that? Because I'll tell you, I have gotten COVID. I never got the shot, but I've gotten COVID at least maybe 3 times, and on the second time I was really sick because I had some high blood pressure. They let me get that shot, it was an infusion. It was called antibody infusion, I think. And did they? Because now I have this arterial problems, like in circulation in my legs and stuff, and I've never had anything before that, and I'm a pretty healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you got, it certainly could aggravate that. But also, I think, didn't the gentleman say that he got the COVID shot?
No, he got the COVID shot.
Not the COVID
shot. I've gotten COVID 3 times, though.
Mm-hmm. But he's had a COVID 3 times.
Well, there's another issue we haven't talked about, Jim, and that is that the COVID test kits are not specific for COVID. They'll turn positive with any viral illness that you might have. They are non-specific. They are experimental. They're not FDA approved. I basically don't have my patients even bother to use them because everybody's showing positive for COVID. I do the antibody test, the blood test, and what they really have is Epstein-Barr, or they may have a herpes outbreak, or they may have cytomegalovirus, or they might have respiratory syncytial virus, and yet everything's coming back positive on the COVID kits. I think those kits are useless.
Thank you, Barry, for the call. Meredith in Spencer, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes. What exactly is long COVID? Now I'll hang up.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about it all 40 minutes here so far, the program here today. But if just in a sentence or two, Doctor, how would you explain what is long COVID?
It's complications from the COVID viral syndrome that occur because somebody didn't get effective early treatment in a comprehensive approach.
Thank you for the call. Mike in Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, two quick points real quick. For one, this should be screened from the rooftops. Tell me if I'm not right. Vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc every day. And the other thing I want to make a comment on was, can you tell me if any of these shots have MRC5 in it?
Okay, thank you.
Point number one, we've been screaming from the rooftops from the beginning of the pandemic. I've been having my patients do it for 38 years. Improving vitamin D, zinc, B12, the B-complex, magnesium, and vitamin C. These are things that many of us have been pushing for a long, long time. The medical, big pharma, big medicine, big government doesn't want people to know about a lot of the simple things you can do to stay healthy and improve your response to a virus. But this is not new information for COVID. Critically important. It's in our treatment guide for COVID. It's in our vaccine injury treatment guide. It's in practically every podcast and media interview we've been doing. So I think that's critical. And second, I don't think anyone can answer reliably what's in the COVID shots because they are not disclosing the true ingredients. There are some people that have done analyses. Some of those are questionable. Some of those are good. I don't think we can say for sure, and I don't have specific information to answer reliably the question he asked about that one ingredient.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Carol in Casa Grande, Arizona, you're on the air. Hello, Carol. Okay. No, Carol. Let's go to Zoltan in Lawrence, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question. I had COVID almost exactly a year ago, October 3rd, I got it. And I have recently become aware, it's strange, the long-term part of it, I lost my sense of smell. Mm-hmm. I have virtually no smell. It's a very narrow things that I can smell. And my significant other has lost her sense of taste.
Okay, tell you what.
What's the treatment?
We're up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute, Zoltan, and we'll have Dr. Valit address this after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do we really understand the worldview war that's taking place? Do we really understand the fact that the number one enemy of the federal government, by their own admission now, has become white, Christian, and constitutional-loving men? They are now deemed to be domestic terrorists, potential domestic terrorists, intolerant. They are said to be suffering from a psychological problem known as toxic masculinity. Why the war on such men? If you want to carry out a successful revolution in a nation, you must first make sure you have no opposition. And if you do, you take it away. These men are the opposition to a Marxist revolution in America, and they are being disparaged and ridiculed in such a way that they cannot be leaders if people conform to the politically correct way of thinking. Let's be aware of the worldview war against men.
And This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll try and get as many questions in as we can, but the clock tells us time is short, so we'll get right into it. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeet with us, truthforhealth.org. Dr. Valeet, so the caller from Michigan said, what about this loss of taste and smell? I mean, can you know? Is there a way to treat this? Can we get those things back?
You can over time. You need good anti-inflammatory approaches. The loss of taste and smell is related to the nerve damage for the nerves that are involved in taste and smell and the glands that are involved. And that damage comes with not only microblood clots, but inflammation. And so if we go to the anti-inflammatory medicines, a lot of the patients that I'm personally treating get better with the anti-inflammatory effects of hydroxychloroquine every day. And that works really well over time to improve the nerve damage that causes lots of things, including loss of taste and smell. So
that's
many
something
of my
that,
patients
that,
have gotten a lot of benefit that, from that.
And that's something you're recommending people take every day is hydroxychloroquine?
Well, I can't make general recommendations that people across the board do it. It's an individual medical decision. Mm-hmm. But my patients, I've evaluated when they have the symptoms and the inflammatory markers that suggest that's an effective medicine, they are taking it every day.
Hmm. Very fine. Let's go to Patty in Cookeville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
A question.
Go ahead, Patty.
Yes, I have a question. You're speaking about the COVID-19 shot. I never did get the shot. I actually have had COVID 3 times and survived it, thank God. I know that they manufactured this shot, and in relation to, like, bioengineered items, I tend to try to stay away from that in my food choices, and I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts were about that because I'm just wondering how that really affects the body.
Okay.
And I'll get off the air and take your answer. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you. Staying away from bioengineered foods.
I question the reliability of the diagnosis of COVID 3 times. I suspect more likely, since the test kits and the are nonspecific, that some of the episodes may have been a simple influenza-like viral syndrome, like we were talking about. With regard to bioengineered foods and synthetic chemicals in household products, for example, some of the synthetic fragrances actually can be neurotoxic. I recommend people not buy a lot of those kinds of products. Do what your grandmother did. Clean your house with vinegar or ammonia or bleach, not put together because that's dangerous, but look at the various uses for cleaning products with using simple ingredients that our grandmothers used and not buying all of these complex products with a lot of chemicals in them that you're releasing into your home environment. And then with regard to foods, healthy, fresh, whole foods, organic produce, for example, organic meats, free-range beef, has less of the additives that make it inflammatory and potentially damaging. I really think people need to work very hard to start cleaning up their diet because food is the medicine that fuels our body, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us to help us be able to serve God in this world. So it's our biblical duty to keep our body healthy, as well as the fact that it keeps you out of the hospital and out of the hands of the people that have ulterior motives about what they put into your body.
We have Teresa calling in from Maricopa, Arizona. You're on the air, Teresa.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Valeet, for taking my call. I did not get the COVID shots. I did have natural COVID infection last year, and I did receive early treatment. I had already been seeing a naturopath, so I did the eye mask protocol with ivermectin. My illness was very mild, thankfully, and I recovered quickly. I'm 40-something-year-old female, very healthy. But following the COVID infection, I started developing severe fatigue, new arthritis, other problems, and went to my doctor for testing. And I'm now having, I'm now being told I have lupus. So I already eat very low inflammatory diet. I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do. They think this was triggered by the COVID infection, and I'm reading about all these immune-boosting supplements, but I don't know if those are things I should be avoiding since my immune system is overactive.
Thanks. Well, one of the things that we do see with the COVID viral illness, remember the three classes of damage were immune dysregulation, inflammation, and microblood clotting. So the fact that you may have developed an autoimmune disorder following the COVID infection and illness, even though it was mild, is not surprising. And one of the medicines that the FDA approved for lupus 30-some years ago was hydroxychloroquine. And hydroxychloroquine works beautifully to treat inflammation and improve the immune response so that it's not overactive in lupus and rheumatoid. And I'm even using it in autoimmune thyroiditis that's out of control or autoimmune disorders such as endometriosis. It's helpful in multiple sclerosis. So there are a lot of the autoimmune disorders that we have data going back many decades about how effective and safe hydroxychloroquine really is. That's something for my own patients that I'm adding to all of these nutraceuticals and healthy foods that you're already doing.
Appreciate the call. We've simply run out of time, less than 45 seconds left here. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, any thought you want to leave with the listeners here today?
Yes, please check out all the resources on our website, www.truthforhealth.org. And if you believe in all that we're doing, donate to support us. We're initiating lawsuits to hold people accountable for the wrongful deaths and for the illegal, unlawful mandates. And we are here to serve God's truth first and medical truth and healthy approaches to improve your health and resilience and live as God called us to live in His design, not the government.
Dr. Valete, thank you so much for carving such time out of a very busy schedule to join us on the broadcast today and just to address this all-important topic. We appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, their website is Truth for Health. That's F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. Friends, copies of the program are available on our website, or you can call our office here for a CD copy as well. For info, listen to the announcement. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.